Finish the,
Not my turn.
Simplest turret talk. We'll work that out, please God. Okay. So last time we finished developing our approach regarding the conceptual nature of the Isser Leboel. Today I want to turn to a new topic, a new subtopic within our broader issue of Isser Leboel, Isser Leboel. And that is the Isser that occurs in the context of Kinui and Stira. You remember our Gemara and Ksubas Daf Tes said that one of the ways through which one can create an isur, a prohibition between man and wife, is through kinoi and stira. And, indeed, the Gemara initially thought that that's the only way to create... Thank you. That's the only way to create an isur, kinoi, and stira. We quoted Rabbi Lazar, who said, Ein ha'isha ne'eseres al baila, ela al iske kinoi ustira. So, a little bit of background. What does that mean? What is it referring to? So, we have a concept of kinoi. Kinoi, a man says to his wife, this is all detailed in the fifth perek of Sefer Bamidbar in the Torah. Gives us a pretty detailed description of the entire procedure. A man says to his wife, I suspect you of engaging in some kind of affair. He says in front of witnesses, or at least one witness, two witnesses, a whole discussion at the beginning of the Gemara and Sota, but he says, I don't want you to seclude yourself with person X. Okay? That's called kinui. Next, the woman does so anyway in front of witnesses. That's called stira. Stira meaning contradiction or seclusion. In this case, seclusion, right? She secludes herself with this man who her husband explicitly said, I don't want you associating with him in a private fashion. So that's kinui, and then there's stira. So now, the next phase would be to take her to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Kohen goes through that whole procedure where they take the water, they erase Hashem's name in the water, she drinks the water, and somehow that serves as some kind of test to determine whether or not she actually had the affair. That's the whole process of the process of the Meisota, right?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Why do we assume she's guilty just because she was along with him? Why don't we assume?
We don't.
We don't. Necessarily. Hold off a little bit. Your question is going to become quite relevant when we develop the topic. But we have a test. We have a test. The test itself doesn't assume guilt or innocence. The test is we have reason to suspect that something occurred, and that reason to suspect leads us to conduct this whole form of ritual test
that occurs in the basic problem within itself.
So yichud is an issue in and of itself, but that's a far cry from erva. Isser ish. That's generally the process of kinoi and stira. You have kinoi and stira, and then you have the whole mei sota. Now, even before she drinks the mei sota, even before she is she's tested by the mei sota, already at the stage when there is stira, when she has that seclusion with the person from whom her husband warned her, at that point she's already prohibited to her husband. Okay, so the husband issues the kinoi. Husband issues the kinoi. She secludes herself with that man nonetheless. At that point, even before the check that occurs in the Beis HaMikdash, even before that whole test, at that point she's prohibited to her husband. Okay, it's that prohibition that I want to discuss today. Now, what would be the most obvious explanation for that prohibition to her husband? Namely,
that's my question. She's guilty until proven innocent.
Oh, so exactly what Arthur was saying. Either that we presume that she is guilty, or you don't even have to say that. You can say that there's a suffix. There's reason to assume that she did. We don't know whether or not she did. We have a general principle of sveika de oraisa lechumra. If you have a suffix about a biblical prohibition, a prohibition on the de oraisa level, you're not allowed to lean towards leniency. You can by an isser derabanan, but not by an isser de oraisa.
It has to be this whole... he has to warn her and everything, because if he sees her, you know, going into a room with a guy, and this doesn't come into play. It's only if there were people who came to him and then he warned her.
Correct. Now, so, what would happen if he saw something like that hints towards an affair, like a mechuar hadavar? So that's machlokes between Rashi and Tosos. Actually, I have it somewhere on these source sheets. We haven't gotten to that when we just like. At some point we'll do a mop-up of all the remaining issues that we didn't get to touch on. And there are a couple of them. But that's one of the issues that I'll mention it when we do like a quick mop-up of all the remaining issues. called Mechura Hadavar. There's a Gemara Kiddushin about it. There's a Gemara, I think, in Yavamos about it. But for now, correct. We are dealing with the formal procedure of Kinoi and Stira. He gives her the Kinoi, and she does Stira as well. So the most obvious explanation for this prohibition would be exactly what we were saying, that there's a notion of Safek, okay? That we have reason to assume that she may have had the affair, and because we have reason to assume that she may have had the affair, they cannot continue living together because Sveikat Oraisa L'Chumra. But we'll see that that's not at all obvious, and indeed doesn't seem to hold true for the Rambam. And today we're going to discuss our first Rav Chaim, a cool part of it. Rav Chaim refers to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the son of Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik. The Beis HaLevi was a Rosh Hashiva in Volozhin. His son, Rav Chaim, was one of the most important contributors to Talmud Torah. He's one of the most important figures, really, in our Masorah, certainly in the last 500 years, in terms of the contributions that he made to the way Torah is approached and learned. He kind of had a revolutionary way of approaching things, much more scientific. He was derisively called the chemist when he first started introducing his Derech HaLimud. But it really swept through the Olam HaYeshivos like wildfire.
That's the Brisker Derech.
The Brisker Derech. That's what we call the Brisker Derech. The usage of rigorous conceptual analysis, the notion of nafkaminas, experimentation, trying to pinpoint particular factors in the halacha and their role in the halacha, and really a much more systematic and rigorous approach to Talmudic study. So it really swept across the yeshiva world. Now everybody, to a greater or lesser degree, has adopted Rav Chaim's Derech HaLimud. There are people who do employ it less, and there are others who employ it more. But the prevalent Derech HaLimud in Europe before Rav Chaim, which was called Pilpul, is really not used at all. Maybe a little bit, but certainly not to the same degree that it was before. Rav Chaim kind of really revolutionized the world of learning. So he has one sefer that he wrote. He wrote a lot of essays on the Rambam, and his sons, after his death, put them together into one sefer. And there's a lot of other work that's written by students of his and the like. So we have a lot of stuff that's quoted b'shem Rav Chaim, but this is the one volume, this black volume, is the one volume of actual essays by Rav Chaim, and we'll quote one of them tonight.
He's a grandfather.
So I want to... Grandfather of the Rav. Grandfather of the Rav. Okay? So I want to begin with a Rambam in Hilchos Yibam HaChalitza. It's the Rambam that Rav Chaim begins his analysis with, but before we do it, it's worthwhile to do a little background on some concepts at the very beginning of Maseches Yevamos. So we know what the concept of Yibam is, right? Yibam, you have two brothers. One of them is married. He dies without any children. His brother has the option to marry his wife, has a mitzvah to marry his wife. And through that subsequent marriage, Yakum Shem Achiv, there will be some form of continuity for the brother. And the Kabbalists certainly focused on this in a major way. The Ramban and the Rabbeinu B'chaya later developed this notion of Gilgul HaNeshamos. There's some kind of continuity for the deceased brother that's accomplished through Yibam. If they do not do Yibum, the woman cannot get married until they perform Chalitza, which is a whole formal procedure, taking off the shoe, spitting, saying some formal paragraph that the Torah gives us, right? Okay, so there's a whole procedure, and that allows her to marry somebody else. So it's unfortunate. There are tragic circumstances. After 9/11, there were a number of Chalitzas that had to occur. A chalitza. Yeah, it's tragic. I mean, because it means that somebody passed away, usually young, without any children. But it happens sometimes. There's a whole big question as to what comes first, Yibam or chalitza, what's preferred. So the Gemara says originally... We don't really do Yibam anymore. The Gemara says that originally Yibam was preferred. You can understand how that would lead to a kind of mess socially. And ultimately, chalitza, now he says the Mishnah Achron is chalitza kodemes. But, historically, this led to a major machlokas, because like I said, Alpi Kabbalah, there's a lot of real significance invested in Yibam. And there's a real achzariyut, in a sense, a real, there's a viciousness, a cruelty to chalitza, because you're ensuring that the soul has no further continuity and the like. So Yerushalmi isn't part of a much larger topic. Yeah, but historically, it led to very interesting things, because Svardim, for many years, actually continued practicing Yibum.
Remember in our shul's father did Yibum.
Father did Yibum.
Yep.
A Sephardi member of the shul.
Yemenite.
Yemenite. There you go. Okay, fine. So the Rambam was into Yibum.
Right. Because he was the age difference.
Okay, right. Yeah, you can understand why. It's not a surprise. But the Gemara actually, yeah, okay. But historically, in cases where Sephardim and Ashkenazim lived together, certain cases like Italy and other areas where you had both Sephardim and Ashkenazim, this became like a really major heated area of machlokas. Heated on both sides. The Yibum components were saying, you're cutting off this guy's soul. The Chalitz components were saying, what are you guys doing? This is crazy. This is nuts to be doing Yibum Bezman Hazeh. It's just, like you said, you know, you have the age gaps and all sorts of pragmatic social issues.
But is there an issue also being Mubatel, something that the Torah says you should be doing?
Is Chalitza Bitul Aseh? So, one of the major questions at the very beginning of Yivamos comes up just in the context of the mitzvah of Yibum. You have mitzvahs Chalitza as well. Chalitza is also a mitzvah. We have this line that Chalitza b'makom Yibum ain't a mitzvah. So maybe it's not. There are a couple of paradigms like that. There aren't too many. The other one that comes up is the notion of Peter Chamor. You have a firstborn donkey, okay? The Torah tells you, redeem it with a sheep, give a sheep to the Kohen and redeem it. And if you do not, break its neck. Okay? So how to understand Peter Chamor, is it a mitzvah, is it not, as machlokas Rambam Ravid? And you also have a major discussion, Yibum HaChalitza, is Chalitza a mitzvah? Is it Chalitza just an out if you fail to perform a mitzvah? Is it an Avera? Are they one mitzvah? Are they two mitzvahs? Whole literature in the Rishonim about this issue. But we'll assume, for simplicity's sake, for now, that chalitza is also a mitzvah, and you're given the choice. You're given the option.
Does the Rambam count as a mitzvah?
Now you're putting me on the spot.
I'm sorry.
What's the Rambam shita?
No.
I should remember this. This is bad. What's the Rambam shita? The Rambam may count them both as one mitzvah. Let me look it up. I don't remember exactly. It's bad. But there's like a big tshuva of the Rashbats on this issue, which is very important. There are a number of very important, like what if a person takes a nether not to do Yibum? So in general, if you take a nether not to do a mitzvah,
right,
it's not chal.
Right.
So is it chal in this case? Because you can still do chalitza, or is it not? It's a big discussion in the Rishonim. It's a very important topic. And when you learn Maseches Yevamos, it's one of the first topics. It's worthwhile considering. But okay, but now the first mission in Yevamos actually opens up with exceptions to this rule of Yibum. And I want to discuss three of them. And that will be very important for our analysis this evening of our topic. So the first one is Erva Bitzaras Erva. I highlighted three cases on this sheet. Okay. Case number one, Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Okay. Achim and Aav, they share a father. Yeah, this is the new sheet. Okay. Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven marries Shimon's daughter. Let's call her Sarah. Right, that's something that's not frequently done, but you know, a person can marry his niece. We know that from Avraham Avinu, right? Avraham Avinu marries Sarah, and another woman. She has two wives. That's called tzara. Okay, that was a little confusing, but a tzara is the halachic term for a co-wife. So he's married to his niece.
Halachic term for what?
A co-wife. Tzara.
Because they right.
Yeah, exactly. It's telling. Okay, fine. So Reuven is married to two women. One is his niece. Another is a co-wife. Now Reuven dies without any children. Rachmana Letzlan. Unfortunately, Reuven dies. Now, Shimon, okay, who are these two women with whom he could potentially perform Yibum? One is his daughter. Obviously, he's not going to perform Yibum with his daughter, right? So Shimon obviously cannot perform Yibum with Sarah, as she is his daughter.
Right.
Sarah also does not need Chalitza, okay? If there's no opportunity to perform Yibum because of a familial relationship, there's no requirement of Chalitza either. Also a big topic that gets into, exactly what we're talking about, the relationship between Yibum and Chalitza, and how
Sarah
much...
Also
okay, so Sarah is the daughter. So the daughter does not need Yibum and does not need Chalitza. Here's the chiddush of the first mission in Yevamos. Shimon also cannot perform Yibum with Sarah's co-wife. Now Shimon is not related to Sarah's co-wife, right?
Right.
Sarah is his daughter, the co-wife he's not related to. But because he cannot perform Yibum with his daughter, he also cannot perform Yibum with
her co-wife.
And not only is he not required to,
he doesn't have to do
it. It's prohibited for him to do so. Why? Because once there's no Yibum,
it's Eishes Ach.
In general, this is also a big topic in Yivamos. We're getting to touching on a lot of major Yivamos issues, but in general, a brother's wife, your sister-in-law, is an Erva. You can't have a marital relationship with your brother's wife. Yibum is an exception. That's how the Gemara in Yivamos becomes the topic of Asei Docha Losa Asei. Yeah.
Tamar.
So that's a big question. That comes out. That's part of the whole Yibum question. So you have a Kodem Matan Torah issue, as you can imagine. Was that Yibam or was it not?
Who?
Big Machlokes Rishonim.
Tamar.
Yehuda and Tamar. We know that Yibam la'achar matan Torah can only be done by brothers.
Before matan Torah.
So is that just, can the concept of Yibam be performed by all relatives, but the Torah restricted it? Or is it that it wasn't really Yibam? So the Ramban says it was really some form of Yibam, and after matan Torah, the Torah restricted it to brothers. That's the Ramban there. But the halacha is that any case where there's an erva, okay, because it's his daughter is one of the wives, he cannot perform yibum with any of them, and none of them require
chalitza.
Okay, that's case number one. Case number two is a case of sota vadois vitzarasa. Now the term sota, this is going to be an ambiguity for us when we do this topic. The term sota can mean one of two things. Sota, the way we traditionally think of it, is the woman who goes through that whole process in the Beis HaMikdash, Kinoi and Stira and everything that we discussed before.
And she lived.
Sota can also be used as a generic term for a woman who had an affair. Okay? That's called a sota vadais. She for sure had an affair with another man. A sota safek, where we don't know, that's the whole case where she goes through the whole process in the Beis HaMikdash. Sota vadais v'tzarasa, this is based on a Gemara in Yevamos. I think it's on Daf Yud or Yud Aleph. I think it's Daf Yud Aleph. Okay, case number two. Levi and Yehuda are brothers. Okay, again, they share a father. Levi marries Rachel and another woman. So far, so good?
Yeah.
Rachel has an affair. It is proven through testimony of two witnesses. We know for sure that Rachel cheated on her husband, Levi. Okay? Now, obviously, there's an Isser LeBaal and Isser LeBoel. Levi has to divorce her. But, point four, before Levi divorces Rachel, he dies without any children. Okay? So now we have a man. He has one wife who cheated on him and another wife. And both of those wives fall to whom? To his brother, who now might or might not have to perform Yibum. Okay? What is the halacha? Yehuda cannot perform Yibum with Rachel. And she does not need chalitza. It's a special chiddush of the Gemara Yevamos because of the term benitma'a. A woman who had that affair cannot perform Yibum. Now, that's a little bit interesting, right? In the first case, Rachel was prohibited to whom? She was prohibited to the brother, the Yavam. It was his daughter, right?
Sarah.
Here, Rachel's prohibited to whom? Not to the brother, but to...
The original brother.
The original husband. The
husband.
Right. So part of this gets into the major question in Yibum, as to how much the brother is stepping into his deceased brother's shoes. The concept of Zika, right? There's a Zika, and he's continuing. There's a famous Sefarno, that it's a continuation of the brother's Kiddushin. So this is one of the very important makoros in that regard, because there's no inherent isur to Yehuda. There's no inherent prohibition to the brother. There's a prohibition to the deceased. Yet because Yehuda is, in a sense, stepping into his deceased brother's shoes, okay, he is not allowed to perform Yibum with Rachel, and again, Rachel does not require Chalitza either. No Yibum, no Chalitza. Fine. Final point, again, Yehuda also cannot perform Yibum with Rachel's co-wife. She also does not need Chalitza. Why? So that's an excellent question. Why in general?
One of them does not need...
Once one of them does not need or cannot need,
then the other one picks up on it.
There's a big question about the nature of Tzaras Erva. That's also one of the first questions
in
your
Yom. The nature of what?
Tzaras Erva, the co-wife of an Erva. That's one of the first, there's a very famous...
When you say co-wife, is she the second wife or the first?
Doesn't make a difference.
Doesn't matter. He's a Talmud Chacham and he knows the answer anyway. So it doesn't make a difference. So
I just want to get the grammar.
Big question about Tzaras Erva, what the nature is. There's a famous Rabbi Kiva Iger, because the Gemara says that a Tzaras Tzara is also prohibited. It gets a little complicated. But let's say this co-wife got remarried to somebody else, and then there's a new co-wife. Okay. I forget. I'm going to leave this aside for now. It's a tough masechta to get the cases down, but as always, the cases are there to highlight certain principles. And
does this only apply to wives, or does this apply for husbands?
Yibum?
No, I'm talking the everything we've been discussing.
name.
If the husband has the affair and the wife doesn't.
Doesn't make a difference. He's allowed to have an affair. If I mean, not allowed. There's no.
The husband
he's allowed to have a relationship with another woman.
One second. Morty.
Okay.
If there's no parallel concept of yibum for a man, for example.
I'm not talking about yibum. I'm talking about our other things. The things we spoke about in the past.
Like what?
Does the sex of the spouse matter?
For what particular issue? Like what in particular?
If the wife has an affair, she's prohibited with the husband. The husband has an affair.
There's no parallel Isser Isha for a husband's affair. It's a one directional issue. It's not egalitarian, but that's the Torah. That's
not enough. Just in a normal case, the brother dies and leaves two wives. So it's the Yibum with Morty, let me ask
the question. The Yibum.
With either or both?
The Yibum. No.
How do you choose?
It can't be done with... let me think for 1 second. Yibum is done with one of them. Yibum is done with one of them.
Either one. Doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, he can choose either
he
one.
He can choose.
Yeah, certainly not both. You can only do Yibum with one. And once Yibum is done with one...
The other one's awesome.
The other ones don't require chalitza.
Okay. The other one doesn't require... But let's say he wants to take the second wife.
Not that one.
He can't take from his brother's wife. He can't marry two of them.
That's what I'm asking. Okay.
Right. Yeah, good. Okay. No, absolutely. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, here's the key case for us is case number three. Okay? Sotas Safek Vitzarasa. Now we're up to Yisachar and Zvulun. Yisachar and Zvulun are brothers. Yisachar marries Rivka and another woman. Okay? Now, Yisachar warns Rivka not to seclude herself with John. What is that called?
Kinui.
He issues Kinui. Witnesses testify that Rivka does so despite her husband's warning. What is that called?
Stira.
So now there's Kinui and Stira. So what would she have to do at this stage? She'd have to go to the Beis HaMikdash, and we'd have to go through that entire procedure with the Kohen, with the water, with the Karban, etc., with the Karban Mincha. Fine. Before Rivka can drink the Mei Sota, which will test whether or not she indeed had an affair, before she can drink that magic potion, or halachic potion, Yisachar dies without any children. Okay? So now, he dies, and she falls to whom? To Zvulun for Yibum. We don't know whether or not she had the affair. Zvulun cannot perform Yibum with Rivka.
Because
it's a Suffolk. Maybe she had an affair. We have reason to assume that perhaps she had an affair, and if she did, we know that he would not be allowed to perform Yibum. However,
why can't we give her the test?
Let's say whatever it is. Before the test is issued, she's not...
give a test.
Oh yeah, it's a good point. Can we issue a test...
without a husband?
No, in the case of a Shomeres Yavam. In the case of a Shomeres Yavam.
I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't remember if that's a discussion or it's a pasha. In general, Morty's right. You need the husband to be there in order to issue the test. I don't remember what the halacha is if the Shomeres Yavam is there.
I would say it can't be if that's what
we're saying.
Let's say he did it b'sman hazan, the Beis HaMikdash is not around. For whatever reason, they can't issue the test, okay? Or maybe Morty's right. Let me look that up. So that was the second thing I have to look up. What was the first thing I had to look up?
I don't know. The Rambam.
The Rambam on Yimun Chalitza. Unfortunately, it's been a couple of years since I did Yivamos, but it's embarrassing that I can't answer these questions. Fine. But for our purposes, okay? Zvulun cannot perform Yibum with Rivka. However, Rivka does need Chalitza before she can marry someone else.
It's a Suffolk.
Okay? Exactly what Morty's saying. It's a Suffolk. We don't know. If indeed she had the affair, then they can't perform Yibum, right? Okay? They can't perform Yibum. If she did not have the affair, then what would she need before marrying someone else?
Chalitza.
She would need Chalitza. So we paskin that you can't perform Yibum, but you do need Chalitza. Now, here's the key question for us. Can Zvulun perform Yibum with Rivka's co-wife? What would you say intuitively?
Since it's a Suffolk.
I would say since, like the other cases, if you couldn't perform Yibum with one wife, then you can't perform Yibum with the other one, just like the other two cases.
Yes, but we don't have a solid reason here. It's still in question whether the first one was yes or no.
Right, there's
so why punish the second wife?
Okay.
Because of the possible sin of the first wife.
Okay. Well, so we have... So, okay, so Ben is saying it should be the same as the others. Arthur's highlighting the fact that we have...
No, what would be your first thought?
Your intuitive.
Right, yeah, intuitive thought. That's what you would have thought. Feeling. And Arthur's... Yeah, don't worry. Musko Rishon. Arthur's saying, no, there's a suffix here. Right? But what should the halacha be in a case of suffix?
Suffix l'chomer.
Sveika de'oraisa l'chomer, as we said. There's a suffix. You're right, Arthur. We're not sure. But if there's a iser de'oraisa on the line...
Which way does the chomer go? In other words, can't you say the chomer would be that you have to do yibum as opposed to not?
The chomer would be that you have to have chalitza. That you have to have chalitza.
No. You already have chalitza. Right? She doesn't need chalitza, the first one.
The first one does require chalitza.
Right.
Now, what about the second one?
Chalitza with one, you have to do chalitza with the second one?
No, let's say, in other words, can you... No. Once you do chalitza, it's all done. The game is over. Right? What I'm saying is, let's say you haven't done chalitza yet. Well, in other words, let's leave chalitza aside. Can you perform yibum or can you not? So you're saying the chumrah might be to perform the mitzvah of yibum. What I'm saying is, once you have the recourse of doing chalitza...
You always have the opportunity,
and you have it here as well.
I'm not really sure why, in a case of 1 and 2, do we not allow the tzara to have yibum if there's a vaday question of the first wife being a sota?
Why?
I didn't explain that well. Why is the tzara in a case when it's vaday?
Right.
Why is the Sarah prohibited from having...
That's a chiddush that the Gemara Yivamos, the Mishnah on Yivamos already tells us, that once one of them is no Yibam or Chalitza because of Erva, all of the Tzaros have no Yibam or Chalitza either.
Once there's no Yibam or
Chalitza, but it's a suffix.
But there's no Yibam on this case.
Right. So my question is more as follows. So I think your intuition is definitely in the right direction. But let me just come back to what Ben was saying for a second. In terms of the Sfeika de'oraisa l'chumra, you can't say that there's a mitzvah of yibum because you have the recourse of chalitza. You understand what I'm saying with that?
I understand.
You wouldn't say Sfeika de'oraisa l'chumra tells you to do yibum because you have another option. Right? Now over here...
But you, I don't know, you can, as a matter of logic, you could say just because you have the option, then the chumra would be to do it, even though you have the option.
The chumra would be...
To do the
yibum.
No, but... Let's say...
If there's a suffix, one option is that you're not permitted to do the yibum.
Sfeika d'oraisa... Yeah? Sfeika d'oraisa l'chumra. Well, first we have a suffix in terms of violating an iser d'oraisa by performing yibum, right? So that has to be weighed against...
All
right. So sfeika d'oraisa l'chumra here is an iser erva. Now, I understand what you're saying. You could have said on the flip side, you have a sfeika d'oraisa in terms of the mitzvahs asay.
Right.
But there obviously is no mitzvah to say if there's an erva, first of all.
Right.
What I'm saying is that because you can also perform chalitza, I don't know if that would carry the same weight in terms of... Because you can perform the mitzvah to say in a way that totally circumvents
the
suffix erva.
That's a
mitzvah. Right, okay, that gets into the whole yibum and chalitza question. Right. But certainly everybody would agree that in a case where the yibum potentially carries an iser d'oraisa of erva, that chalitza is a good... Is the odd. Right, exactly.
Okay.
Regardless of what your perspective on chalitza is. Now getting to this point, Chaim, you're 100% right. So let's think this out for a moment, okay? If this woman indeed had the affair, then it would be also for him to perform yibum with her, and it would be also for him to perform yibum with all of the tzaros as well. But now there's a suffix as to whether or not she had the affair. So what would you say? I intuitively would have said, Sveika de'oraisa l'chumra. It's quite conceivable that there's an iser de'oraisa to perform yibum with any of these women. Herself, any of the tzaros. Because if indeed she had the affair, it's prohibited to have yibum with any of them. It's erva. So intuitively, it's very clear that we would think that the psak should be, you can't do yibum.
It's not a sveik sveik, though, is it?
What would be the sveik sveik?
I'm just saying, there's a suffix on the lady.
That's it.
If
the only suffix is the lady. If she had the affair, then they're all prohibited. Okay. Only one suffix. That's what we would have said. We would have required chalitza, because after all, there is that suffix element. You can't just get married to somebody else without chalitza. But it's very clear that the intuitive position would be to say that there's certainly no yibum.
No, I disagree.
Why do you disagree, Arthur?
It's my intuitive is that we're punishing the Sara because of a possible infraction by another woman.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying.
It's a suffix.
But the purpose of the Yibum is not for the wife, it's for the brother. So you're not punishing the wife.
That's actually a whole question. That's one of the central questions about Yibum also.
It's to carry on the brother's line.
Right. There are others who think it's more intended for the wife to take care of her, say for Abatim. There are a lot of problems with that position.
She gets the kesubah.
But
a lot of problems with Pachisim.
That it's for the wife. Right. The biggest problem with that position is that it's not contingent on whether she has kids. It's contingent on whether the brother has and the brother has kids.
Right.
But even assuming that you're correct, Arthur, given the principle of Sveika d'oraisa l'chumra, Given that legal principle that we're machmir in cases of suffik d'oraisa, then we would assume that it should be.
Gemara assumes that all women would rather be in a marriage than without a marriage.
Tavla mesav tandum mesav armla.
So that's the basic position to say that we'll give some benefit
to the wife. Yeah, but it's the question is.
But if you have a suffik that she's not allowed to do it, then the game's over. Once there's a suffix,
Chaim's saying a different. Chaim's saying a different point. Maybe it's for the woman because of Talmud Meis of Tandu. But
saying you can't take that position away because of that.
Okay,
but once a suffix pops its head out.
No, but once that's the case, in other words, why are we specifically worried about this woman?
I don't really think that has a play in this position. I'm just saying to you, we can't really say that she is it better for her or not. We assume that it's better for her to be.
No, for sure.
So that doesn't really make that much of a difference in this position, I think.
Yeah. It's a broader question about the mitzvah. We won't get into the Isha versus the mace issue. That's a central question in Yibum. But let's take a look for a moment at some of the sources on this issue. So first, I was right. It was a Gemara. You've almost done the Daf Yud Aleph. I actually have it on the source sheet. Okay, source 31. It's on top of page 9.
31,
page 9.
Okay. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav. Yehuda said in the name of Rav. Tsaras Sota Asura. The co-wife of a Sota is prohibited, and obviously included in that is the Sota herself. Tuma Ksivba Ka'arayos. Because the word Tuma appears in the context of the Sota, just like it appears in the context of Arayos, just like it appears in the context of Erva. Masiv Rav Ashi. Nichnasa Imo Laseser. Vishohasa Imo Kede Tuma. Asura Labesa. Va Asura Lachal Batruva. Meis Koletas Vlamas Yabemas. Rashi asks the following question. If there was kinoi, and there was stira, okay, and she waited, the rule with stira is they have to seclude themselves for enough time for there, yeah, exactly, for there to be tuma, for there to be an affair, for enough time for an affair to occur. If she waited that amount of time, she's prohibited to her household, she's prohibited to eating truma, but if he dies, you still require chalitza. So you, Rav, told me that there's no yibum and no chalitza, there's nothing just like an erva. Here, I see that there's required chalitza. There's no yibum, but there is chalitza. Amar lecha Rav, amin lecha, ana sota vaday v'amrit li'at sota safik. As I said, some of the ambiguity here stems from the fact that the word sota is used in two different ways. Rav says, I was talking about a woman who vaday had an affair. That woman doesn't require yibum or chalitza, tomaksiv baka arayas. In the case of a sota safik, what's the halacha? There's no yibum, but there is chalitza. Seems pretty explicit in the Gemara.
By definition, a sota is a safik.
No, that's what I told you. Sota is being used in two different ways.
Right.
Right? Okay? Sometimes it's just being used to refer to a woman who had an affair. Bevada. That's a sota vadois. Yeah. Now take a look at the Rambam in Yibum v'Chalitza, source 32. Here's where the problems begin. Isha...
You haven't had any problems so far.
Here's where the problems begin. Isha shezineis tachas baila beratzon. Uve edin. A woman has an affair against her husband. Beratzon. Right? We know that if it's ones, then there's only an issue for an ishas kohen. So she willingly has an affair. Uve edim, and there are witnesses. Umeis kodem sheyigarshena, but he died before he has a chance to divorce her. Obviously, he's required to divorce her now, but he'd not get a chance.
She's not getting killed because there was no hasra.
So there's no hasra.
Okay.
V'nafla lifnei, that's your issue.
They leave all that out.
V'nafla lifnei yavam, and now she falls to the deceased's brother for yibam. Harehi petura min hachalitza umin hayibam. Right? So far the Rambam is so good. She does no yibam, no chalitza. As we said, she had the affair. Tumak sivba ka'arayos. The Rambam is paskening the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Yud Aleph. V'chein sarasa ki ilu haiza erva ala yavam. And the same thing applies to whom? Not just to her, but also to the co-wives. No yibam and no chalitza. V'mnesha tumak ksuva ba ka'arayos shenemar v'hi nitma. Aval. Here's the underline. Aval sota shemeis baila kodem sheyashkena mei hamarim.
That's sota?
Now here, yeah, that's sota.
This is sota vaday.
This is a sota suffik, right? We don't know. Exactly. This is a sota suffik. We don't. She didn't get a chance to drink the water yet. Osha eina bashtia, or for whatever reason she can't drink. There are a whole host of exceptions. Women who can't drink. That's the answer to your question, Arthur. That's what the Rambam's addressing. Why don't we just give her the mehamarim? She says, oh, for whatever reason, there are a whole host of exceptions. Women who are not allowed to drink. Elabas gerushin. Rather, he has to divorce her. What happens? Harezu choletzes velomis yabemis. She does chalitza, not yibum. That's exactly what we said, right? You can't do yibum because she may have had an affair. And if she had an affair, you're not allowed to do yibum. She can't marry somebody else because if she didn't have the affair, you need chalitza.
Okay. No, okay.
You need to get from the husband or yes. from the yavam, you would need chalitza. But we'll look at what the Rambam says next. Vim haisa la tzara, if she has a co-wife, hare tzarasa muteres vecholetzes o misyabemes. Rambam Paskins.
The terminology.
It's suffix.
He's Soros and Muteris, Choletas, Formis Yamemis. We shouldn't be the other way around.
He could even do Yibam.
So she could, in other words, the Tzara could be either Yibam or Chalitza.
Yeah. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying.
Who argues?
Everyone. It's the Rambam.
This is the case where a husband dies.
Prior,
before she drinks the mesa.
Yeah, the Rambam says that the co-wife. You don't know. We have reason to assume that there was an affair. He says, like you, we shouldn't punish the second woman. She could do yibum, right? But what about the principle of sheikat d'oraisa l'chumra? This really bothers Rav Chaim. Look at number 33. Hinei divrei Rambam tmuhim. It doesn't make any sense. Masha pasuk devasota suffik tzarasa choletzes omis yabemes. She could do yibum or chalitza. If indeed she had the affair, she can't do yibum, and the tzara, the co-wife, can't do yibum either. Says the halacha should be the same for her. In other words, if there is indeed a real possibility, there's an iser de oraisa here of eshasach. Then why? How can the Rambam possibly allow yibum? How can the Rambam possibly allow you?
Does the suffix transfer?
What?
Maybe the suffix.
Well, that was my point.
Maybe the suffix doesn't transfer.
Why would that be the case? Huh? And there's a sveikat d'oraisa on this woman. There's a conceivable possibility
once he dies,
that by performing yibum with this woman, you are violating an erva d'oraisa of eshasach. In general, if there's a woman with whom there's a suffix d'oraisa of erva, you're absolutely prohibited from having a marital relationship with her. So. What kind of an exception is this? There's a potential that this is erva. This is not just like a gilui araya. It's one of the big three, right?
But it's not. They're right. It's only a suffix of the connection. It's not suffix. There's no.
If indeed
there is no suffix, there is not. We said it. There is no suffix arayas for the tzara. The question is only: does the connection happen from the if wife the, to the tzara? And that's why I said to you, the key position is, why do we say that the tzara is not allowed to? There's no erva. There's no suffix.
Chaim, if she had an affair, if woman number one had an affair,
yes,
there's no yibum, right?
Correct.
Follow my thought process here.
Yes.
Once there's no yibum,
The
relationship with any of those women is what?
Ended.
Erva.
It's erva.
It's eshasach.
You can't.
It's his brother's wife. Sota is... I understand where the confusion is stemming from. Sota is like case one. In other words, it's like erva. It's like as if this woman was your daughter. But once... It's going to take time to explain the whole thing. I understand what the confusion is stemming from, but the point is as follows. If there is no yibum, in any case, if there is no yibum, that's definitely erva. Because it's your brother's wife. You can't have a sexual relationship with your brother's wife. Rahman al-Atlan. It's only permissible if it's within the context of Yibum. So here we have a suffix whether or not there's Yibum. And if there's no Yibum, it's Eishasach. It's Erva
d'Oraisa. Okay, so where does Rambam get it from?
Good question. I was hoping you'd ask that, Arthur.
That's why you keep me around.
He's a shill.
The problem gets worse before it gets better.
Oh, so
now the problem is... I would be interested, though, if Rambam does say Chalitza is a mitzvah or not.
Now you're really interested.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not sharp on my Yevamos thing. Maybe it might.
You get you a big pad right there.
Source 34.
What are you going to say from this?
Here we're dealing with a case of Suffolk Sota, okay? So she had the kinoi and the stira, she hasn't drank the water yet. Pe'emes choletzes. If he dies, there's chalitza. The Gemara asks a startling question. Amai, tas yabem nami yevume?
What number are you
at? Source 34, page 9. Let them also do yibum. Amar of Yosef Amar Krav, yatsa mi beso v'holcha v'haisa le'ish acher. I'll bring you a special pasuk that tells you that they're not allowed to do yibum. Look at Tosfos. Tosfos, source 35. Mikol makom kasha. Kivan the sota vaday chashiv la rav ke'erva. What is the suggestion of the Gemara sota here? The Gemara sota is suggesting that when you have a sota suffik, you should be allowed to do yibum. You should be allowed to do yibum. And what does the Gemara answer? Why aren't you allowed to do yibum? I have a special pasuk. I have a special xeris akosuk. What should have been the obvious answer for why you can't do yibum? Sfeika d'oraisa l'chumra. It's a suffik. There may be an erva here. She might be a sota. There might be an erva of eshesach. The Gemara's answer should have been, of course you can't do yibum. How can you even conceive of the possibility of doing yibum? There's a possibility that she had an affair. She'd be an eshesach. How can you possibly counsel Yibum here?
This can go back to where we have a situation before where the wife cheated, the husband doesn't know, the husband has no way of finding out. So the paramour and the husband are not permitted.
So you want to go back to the lamdas by Isur L'Baal. But here it's fair, but here we're dealing with a Yibum case. It doesn't that paradigm that we had for the Isur L'Baal.
But nobody will ever know if this woman had the.
But here, because we're dealing with Yibum, even if there we gave a specific reason why it will be contingent on whether or not the husband knows. That paradigm won't apply because I hear your point. The problem is that there we were dealing with one issue, here we're dealing with a separate issue. There we were dealing with Isur L'Baal, here we're dealing with Yibum. Yibum, there's no. Even the Rashash went as far as to say that the husband, if he doesn't know, it shall be mutaris to him, he would never say that in the context of Yibum. Yibum is a totally different area. It's part of the.
I'll accept that.
Yeah. We can talk about it further. It relates to the particular. Again, we have a particular explanation for why
this situation where we don't have a definitive answer.
Right.
And how can we impose a
first result? Again, that was a remarkable chiddush of the Rashash. First of all, almost everybody disputes that, so that we don't have to worry about. And second of all, even the Rashash would not apply it.
Into, bother learning it.
Even the Rashash would never apply it here. That was specifically for the Isur L'Baal.
I'm sorry.
I'm glad you're bringing that up. I mean, you know, like it's worthwhile thinking about. It's just Tosfos asked this kasha in source 35. Mikol makom kasha. Kivan de sota vaday chashiv la rav ke'erva. Im kein sota safek, havelo le chashiv k'safek erva. Should be a safek erva. Im kein hechi parach v'tis yabim yivume. How can the Gemara possibly think that there's a realistic possibility of performing yibum? If it's quite conceivable that there's a suffix erva here. So not only does the Rambam say that it's mutter, the Rambam says by the tzara sota, the Gemara thinks that even by the woman herself it might be permissible to perform yibum, if not for a special pasuk that tells us that it's not okay.
It's not a suffix d'oraisa.
Of course it's a suffix d'oraisa. Of course it's a suffix d'oraisa. Eish ha'ach is an issur d'oraisa. The exception to yibum for sota, also a din d'oraisa. Even still she's asura. If yours. Rahman al-Atlan, a person has a sister-in-law. His brother passes away. You can't marry that woman. She's asura to you forever. Unless it's Yibum. Unless there's Yibum.
Alright.
Vaday. Isur d'oraisa.
Yeah, but you're extending it to the second
maybe
person.
Maybe when he dies. Maybe,
here we're dealing with the first person. Here we're dealing with that woman herself.
Maybe when the husband dies, there's no more claim of infidelity.
That's what I said.
No, but again, if there's no yibum, if
then yibum comes in, yibum is held off because of the word v'nitma, tuma.
Right.
When he's dead, maybe there's no longer a claim to her.
You're saying the whole sota suffix falls away.
Yeah, and that's the way I'd like to learn it. Because if I learn the suffix sota falls away, then I don't have to say suffix d'oraisa, and then I can bring up yibum. So the question is, can when the person die? Does she no longer have a claim against her infidelity?
Oh, sota, you want to, that's a very interesting idea. That like the sota suffix.
I'm trying to get rid of the suffix.
No, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
You're saying that something only exists while the husband's alive? Is that...
Essentially.
Only when the husband...
Because...
It's an interesting idea. It's very interesting.
I like it.
And we don't... It's wrong. Because we know there's no yibum by a... We know there's no yibum by a sota suffix, but it's a creative idea. It's a very...
No, but there's still...
We know that the suffix at least persists for the sota herself. It definitely won't help for the Rambam.
It doesn't persist for the tsar.
Why would that be the case? In other words, once it's persisting for her...
Break for the tsar.
It's a very interesting idea. I think it's a good way of thinking about it. I never thought about it before, but I've never thought of that particular idea. But it's a good idea. It's a creative idea. Let me at least try to get
the
answer.
Whole thing behind, I mean, just to follow up on what Chaim's saying, a lot of the theory behind the whole Sota and the Memara and all that, it's really a psychodrama. I mean, they don't expect the woman to actually go through and drink the water and have the boyfriend blow up and all
right.
this. Right? It's really an exercise to get her to admit.
Okay.
But if the husband dies, there's no the end of the psychodrama. I'm just
you know. Right, no, but again, the problem is that the suffix clearly persists for her, at least for the Rambam, certainly for the Rambam, right? Once the suffix persists for her, why not for the Tsar?
Right.
So if Chaim suggests that in order to understand this, we have to go back to the very nature of the Isser Kino Yastira. If you don't mind, I'm just going to stand up for this part, if that's okay. We have to go back to the nature of the Isser Kino and Stira. We know that at that point where the woman has the Stira, we know that at that point she's prohibited to her husband, right?
Right.
That can be understood in one of two ways. Until now, how have we been understanding it? Not in the context of Yibum. Just in general. Why? There's Kinoi, there's Stira, the woman's not prohibited to her husband.
But again, why?
What? More particularly?
She's violated the husband-wife relationship and she no longer exists in that relationship.
In the case where she has the affair, that's definitely true, right? Here, we don't know whether or not she had an affair.
Right.
So why should she be prohibited now?
Because there's a suffix.
There's a suffix, exactly. That's what we said at the outset. There's reason to assume that she had an affair, and that is the way many Rishonim understand the Isser Kinoi and Stira. The way they formulate it is that there are raglayim ledavar. There's what to stand on. There's what to stand on. There's reason to assume, exactly. There's reason to assume that she had an affair. Why is she prohibited to her husband? Because there's good reason to assume that she had an affair, and that affair would subsequently prohibit her to her husband, as we know, right? As we've been studying, there's an isur lebaal in the event of an affair. There's another way through which one can learn the isur kinoi and stira. It's not that there's a suffix as to whether or not she had the affair. Like Arthur was saying at the beginning, we have no proof that she had an affair.
Yeah.
The alternative is that this is not an isur misham suffix. It's not an Isser, maybe she had an affair with another man. The Isser is an Isser Vadai that is simply caused by Kinoi and Stira. In other words, Kinoi and Stira doesn't have to work through the mechanism of Isha Shezinsa. The Torah tells you, a special Chiddush, that if there's Kinoi and Stira, these are the results. A, she goes to the Beis HaMikdash to be tested by the Kohen, and B, okay, that inherently, without recourse to any other principle of Kshem Shasur Labal, Kachasur Labal, Kinoi and Stira inherently, in and of itself, does what?
Creates
an Isser.
Isn't that like formal substance? It's very formalistic.
No.
It's very formalistic. It is very formalistic.
It's telling you that if there's distrust between a husband and wife, you enter
two
into
mitzvos.
The state of Kokinovus.
Great. Morty found it. The Rambam holds that there are two mitzvos of Yibum and Chalitza, two separate mitzvos. All
right.
It's really terrible. It's really terrible that I did not remember. Whatever. Okay. Sorry. One for Yibum, one for Chalitza. Okay. That's a second possibility. Is that just Kinoi? Is that Kinoi and Stira creates a suffix, and because of that suffix, she's prohibited to her husband?
It's much better.
It's a vaday din. It's din vaday.
It's better because it's a new state. Husband distrusts his wife with some ground, and she enters a position of kinoi v'stira.
Take a look at source 36. Mata malomer v'hin nitzma v'hi lo nitzma. I'm going to read it quickly. Im nitzma lama shose, im lo nitzma lama mashke. What's going on with all these formulations of the Torah? Nitzma lo nitzma. Magid locha kasov shasafek asura. Okay? Tells you that the safek, this woman who is a safek, is prohibited. Mikanat adam l'sheretz, maso tzeshalo aso bashogi kemizit for onis karatzon. Okay, I'm not going to get into the details here of what it's talking about, to Masharetz and stuff like that. But the Gemara uses a fascinating line in the context of this woman. So the Torah says, the Gemara says, Asa bas safek kevadai. Asa bas safek kevadai. The safek is like a vadai. Why is it like a vadai? Why is it like a vadai? Because one way of approaching it is that no longer is this just an isser safek. It's not just that she may have had an affair with somebody else. The Torah tells you that this itself is inherently, intrinsically an isser. That's an isser vadai. Asa bas safek kevadai.
Does that strengthen the question on the Rambam?
Oh, so at first, what do you mean? Safek, there's no safek at all. It seems to strengthen the question on the Rambam. Exactly. No, Rav Chaim answers...
That safek and vada, it does not extend to the tzara.
Let me just give you Rav Chaim's answer.
You're saying that safek is...
Unfortunately, we're running out of time, and unfortunately, I don't know when the next year is going to be, because next week is Tzom Gedalia, and then we might be breaking a little bit. Maybe we could do something over Yontif or something like that. We'll see. Just to finish up some of the details here. What Rav Chaim says is as follows. Rav Chaim says that as far as Safek is concerned, as to whether or not she actually had the affair, Rav Chaim says something remarkable. He says something radical. It's in line with what you were saying before, Arthur. He says that we don't even have a Safek at all. A woman has a Cheskas Kashrus.
Right.
She has a Cheskas Kashrus. Everyone has a Cheskas Kashrus. We assume innocent until proven guilty. Now, everybody else says, like Ben was saying, when there's smoke, there's fire. They're Raglayim Ladavar. If she secluded herself with this guy who the husband suspected she was having an affair with, one second, so then there's reason to assume that she had the affair. Rav Chaim says, no, according to the Rambam, we don't use this, if there's smoke, there's fire, svar. We don't use this Raglayim Ladavar, svar. She has a Cheskas Kashrus. We assume that she did not have an affair at all.
Thank you.
Why is there a prohibition? There's a prohibition because the process of Kino Yustira itself creates that prohibition. Now we can understand why the Gemara Yevamos had a Havamina that you could even do Yibam. Because there's no assumption whatsoever that she had the affair. There's no assumption whatsoever that she had the affair. She's Asura because of a formalistic din of Kino Yustira.
It's even stronger since we created Kino Yustira. We can say how we want to do it. We say, okay, she's Asura, but we doesn't go to Tzara.
We're not working with the Isser Laba'al, the Tzoda Vada'is of the Gemara Yevamos, which says that there's no Yivam. And the Rambam goes a step further and says, you know what? It's true. The Gemara Sota on Daf Hei gives us a special pasuk to say that there's no Yivam. When it comes to the Tzara, because there's no real suffix in the first place as to whether or not she actually had the affair, you could even go as far as to do Yibam.
It looks to me the Avera is not an Avera of Erva yet. It's more of like more a merit, because she's rebelling when her husband says to her, don't do it.
We'll call it for now. There's more to this. There's a lot more to this. We'll call it Kpedas Habal. Yeah, it's okay. That's essentially like what you're saying. It's Kvedas Habal. She's undermining trust in the relationship, and that inherently in and of itself, the Kinyan Stira, creates an Isser. But then we can understand why the Gemara Yevamos has a Havamina that you'd be able to do Yibam with this woman. Because again, there's no real Chashash that she had an affair.
Right.
And Rav Chaim says, that's why the Rambam, according to the Rambam, you could even go ahead and do Yibam with her Tzara, with her co-wife.
Right.
Because after all, there's no real suffix in the first place as to whether or not she was a sota. There's a lot more to do on this topic, but Hashem will cover some of the other issues.
She can only have chalitza, right?
Because sorry?
That's part of the punishment of Kinev Estira, that she can only have chalitza.
Yes, not Yibam. Right, that's a special pasuk from the Gemara. That's a special pasuk from the Gemara and Sota. Haizel
Ishacher.
But because it's only a formalistic issue and not a real suffix,
very nice.
That works. But we actually finished the topic.
There's a lot more to do. No.